Well, it's the Greg and Brian show coming to you live. Greg's house is amazing, by the way. If you ever get a chance to be invited over here, it's very exclusive. It's members only.
That's right.
I knew he was a great designer, and then I walked in his house, and I was like, holy S word. This guy actually knows what he's doing.
Thank you very much.
It's beautiful here.
Thank you. Thank you. We love our home. And for those of you who don't know this, we have a little side hustle of flipping homes as well. So we really enjoy creating spaces for other people, but also we get to create some spaces for ourselves as well, which is pretty fun.
Well, I just appreciate that you said be casual, be yourself, and then I showed up and you're dripping in like Louis Vuitton and I have my podcasting hat on. That's probably a little
real.
Bit smelly. Your dog is licking my legs under the
is
table
really
right
licking
now.
You right?
So if I'm giggling, it's not because Greg is that funny, it's because his dog is licking my legs underneath the table.
Nice. That I trained him to do that. I said, Brian's coming over. Let's show him a good time.
Don't give him any water for weeks. We really need him to come through.
That's right. Okay, Brian. One of the biggest conversations we have here, let's just cut right to it, is how we can best help our clients. And you know what? We're both not salesy people. We're just people who
Oh, speak for yourself.
We're not. Are you really? I mean, come on, man.
I try not to be. I'm very passionate. Sometimes that comes across as very salesy. It does. You know, when you're very passionate and like you're boisterous and leaning in, sometimes I have to back up and say, I'm not trying to sell you on this. I'm trying not to emote, but sorry, I'm in a very emoting person.
What
I need to build an emote around my house.
I was going to say, are we building an emote? However,
first of all, let's back up just a second. It's the holidays. Let's recognize this, right?
Yes.
I mean, I love Christmas. I really do. I love Halloween a lot. People who know me know that I'm a nut for Halloween, as
That's
I
right.
think you are as well.
Right.
But I love Christmas. What do you love the most about Christmas, besides all the easy stuff? Is there anything? This is I'm teeing myself up for this answer, and I'm going to start with you. Is there anything that you love about Christmas that maybe other people don't or don't know about you or...
We love decorating, of course.
Yes.
This is my go-to. I actually have something else in before this, but we love decorating. We were the first ones in the neighborhood with the lights on the
in
outside
August.
Of the house in August.
You know, they say that the earlier, the people who put up their tree early and keep it up late are happier. And that's like, my wife says there's a study behind that.
Yeah.
That's science, apparently. But she says that there's a study. If you put up your tree early and you take it down late, you are a happier person.
We're super happy. Sometimes.
I would say crazy, but she says happy.
Well, I grew up keeping our tree up into the middle of January. For the reason is that my mom, my dad, and myself are Capricorns. I'm the 7th, my dad's the 11th, my mom's the 16th. So we all loved Christmas. We kept the tree up for Christmas. So it went from Christmas presents under the tree to birthday presents under the tree.
I was going to say Capricorns are lazy, but I...
The
they
opposite
love
of
Christmas.
Lazy. Literally, we're anal, organized, stubborn goats. Like,
I love eggnog. I freaking love. Sorry, Ollie. I literally do. If I could go to a bar and order eggnog, I would order eggnog.
Why?
It's just delicious.
Had.
You've never had eggnog?
I don't think I have.
Oh, it'll change your life. It's
Why?
So creamy and yummy. It's like. I love all the high caloric drinks. I love pina coladas. I love eggnogs. It's something about it. People just want to throw up when they see eggnog, but I can't get enough of it.
I just think of Christmas vacation immediately.
Yes.
I think of eggnog.
I go home. I have a special eggnog glass. It kind of looks like this one. It's very fancy. It's not tall like this, but you know, and I can't get enough of it. I drink eggnog every single night until the stores don't have it anymore.
You're currently doing that?
Yes, I drank a lot of eggnog.
That's why you have to
this
play
morning.
So much pickleball in the morning.
I'm working off all the eggnog, people. Yeah, I love eggnog. It's delicious. Try it. With cinnamon on top, not nutmeg.
I don't know. We'll see. Maybe
okay.
maybe that's
we'll
the
report back next
I'll
episode,
back
the eggnog
Actually,
episode.
We were just went to Costco the other day, and I saw eggnog there. And I did for 5 seconds think, do I buy this eggnog? Because that's what Costco does to you. Do you need this product?
Well, not.
Life?
You don't need 20 gallons of it at Costco.
Well, that's what it came
you
down
just
to.
Just start
like,
with like a gallon.
I need a tiny little, like a sip, not 5 gallons.
Yeah. I'll bring you a taste.
All right.
You can try.
That I promised.
Check the box, people. Eggnog at... 11:15, we addressed it.
Perfect. All right, Brian. Christmas. Anything else about Christmas?
No, I think that's it.
All right. It's really good. Do you want more water? You really chugged that. If you want more water.
Please don't water shame me. Water.
No, I love water as well. You can have my water.
I'm good. Thank you.
Okay, cool. The point of this conversation, I think what a lot of people don't know about us is that we've known each other for a very, very long time.
Yes.
Right? We both.
Well over 10 years.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's been less than an honor. Yeah. Actually, the other day, you know how the phones pop up on the phone or on your photos and you're on the phone? A photo of us popped up. We're both in suits. We were at a sales meeting.
Oh my God. That was the worst suit you were wearing. No, I was wearing, I think both of us. That wasn't that long ago. And it's like, when was this taken? Like 1987?
They're two different people. Like, who is this Brian and Greg?
You still had the blonde tips in your hair. I mean, you were doing like a Lance Bass impersonation. It was amazing.
Stop. Anyhow, though, how we've grown, though, since those suits. Because we don't, you actually do wear suits. You had, the other day I saw you and you had a Christmas suit on.
I guess that could classify as a suit. I hate suits. Isn't it funny? Like in that picture I used to love, I thought I was hot stuff in a suit. Yeah. Today, I mean, this is my professional attire. This is what you get. I could not imagine wearing a suit on a daily basis.
Well, and that's exactly what we want to talk about because this process has such a high anxiety level for our clients. Whether it's dental, vet, any type of doctor, you and I have had this discussion and thought we could really talk about this today is that anxiety level and how working with a team of professionals can lower that. We have a lot of strategies. We have the business strategies. But when you're working with someone who just comes from pickleball and there's a different level of, you know what, we've got you and it doesn't have to be a stuffy way to really support you.
Yeah. Well, what we just off the top of my head the other day, we were talking on the phone and I was saying like in dentistry in particular, and maybe it's other verticals, but because we work with so many dentists over the year, honestly, hundreds and hundreds, we see it. There's such a, maybe the word delta is good. There's such a delta or a gap between the haves and have nots. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, all day, every day I see people's financials. I see their business strategy. I see what they're doing. I see what they're producing, what they're bringing home.
Yeah.
And it's strange to me. You have dentist of sort of the same. There he is, the one and only, the star of the show, the mascot. We have people of the same stock, right? They probably have similar backgrounds. They went to school together. A lot of our clients have sort of, you know, come from blue collar and have worked themselves up. It's not like we have these hidden clients who come from, you know, these big trust fund backgrounds, etc. Exactly. So similar paths in life, but all of a sudden you have somebody who has 15 practices, 10 practices, and then you have somebody who's scared to death to get off the ground. Why is that? And people will always look for these, I hate to call them excuses, but sometimes I feel like they are. Well, you know, you can't do that and it's too dangerous to do this. And then meanwhile, you have somebody who was maybe in your same class in dental school or a year behind you or a year ahead of you, who's got 15 locations and is staring at a piece of dirt and says, give me that. I'm going to take that because I'm so confident in my ability to be successful there because I know my systems. I can repeat it over and over again. And then you have somebody who we see at our same courses, lectures, startup events, what, 2, 3, 4, 5 times, and they can never get off the ground.
That's true.
So what is the difference between somebody who has 10 to 15 locations and growing like crazy and super confident to that other person who just can never seem to get one open because they're so scared to death? I think it's a little bit of crazy. So I'm going to give you my answer. I think it's a little bit of maybe how we're wired. I've always been wired to throw caution to the wind. People always have said, well, Brian, how can you do that? You know, how can you with, you know, 2, 3 kids, et cetera, just go and do another?
Depends on the day.
There are 3. I'm claiming all of them at this point. Okay. I'm sorry, everyone.
Yeah.
You know, how can you throw caution to the wind and go do that? It's just how my brain is wired that I feel an inherent sense of positivity in the world, that it's going to, if I do my best, it's going to give back to me.
Yeah.
And that's just how I feel, that if there's an opportunity, then why not me?
Yeah.
You know, that's how I feel. Why can't I do it? If I go and I work as hard as I possibly can, I know I'm not the smartest, I'm not the best, but if I go and I put my full effort into it, I feel like the world is going to give back to me. And I think that's how some of our other larger clients are wired, who just say they're able to throw caution to the wind sometime. Yeah. And they know what they're doing is safe. So why not lean into it as hard as possible and really try to maximize it?
Absolutely. My first response.
So I'm going to say mindset.
Fuck, you just took it out of it.
Greg said the F word.
It was mindset. That's
you're allowed
the
to
word.
Say the F word.
That's
what... We're not on the FCC.
Mindset.
I said mindset.
So what a lot of people don't know about me, and actually you and I haven't even talked a lot about this, but a couple years ago, prior to DesignWise even though I've been in dental for a while, DesignWise was really created 3 or 4 years ago. Really, we're going on 4. And I was working through a lot of mindset issues. And I went to a lot of courses. If anybody ever heard of NLP, you know what NLP means?
Mm-mm.
Well, it's an acronym for neuro-linguistic programming. In this training, I went through months and months of training. I'm a master practitioner of neuro-linguistic programming. What that means is, think of it like this. You have a success strategy. You know how to get from the start point to the end point. We can look at Steve Jobs. We can look at Bezos. We can look at any big corporation. We could also, though, take that to the micro level. Look at our dentists who are creating multiple practices. What are they doing? Who are they working with? How are they getting the funding? And why is it working for them, but it's not working for our dentist who is just stuck? One word. It's BS. Not what you're thinking. It's but your belief system.
That's two words.
Two system. Two words. I'm so sorry, Brian. It's one thought. Belief system. And that belief system comes from our background. It's how we were raised. Personally, I need it to get rid of my baggage. Have you ever heard that word baggage? It's emotional baggage. And that's what most people are stuck in. It's that belief system and baggage of, I'm not worthy, I can't do it on my own, I don't have enough money to do this, I'm just going to get sold by all these dental salespeople who are coming at me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, for those of, how do I say, for everybody to know actually, Brian was very influential at starting DesignWise. He doesn't know this maybe you know a little bit, but I was very stuck for quite a while. I was working in the corporate architecture firms. I was in sales for a little while. It all revolved around dental. However, the start of DesignWise came from a conversation with you and I, and you pushed me and you started sending me referrals. I was scared out of my mind to talk about what I did for a living because a lot of my personal baggage. One of the biggest things a lot of people with that baggage have is a mindset around, are they worthy? How can I make money? Will people pay to come and see me? What if I mess up? Will my reputation be ruined? There's so many of that type of stuff, and it's stuff we don't talk about. I was just on a call yesterday. Actually, I take that back. I had a call planned for yesterday, and I got with a client, and I got a phone call about 10 minutes before. He's like, Greg, I'm so sorry. Going into our call, I'm having so much anxiety today over the process of going through this practice build out that I just don't think I can get on our call right now. I need to go spend some time alone. And I kept him on the phone. I said, Doctor, well, what's going on in your world? He's like, there's just so many moving pieces. He's like, my office manager is looking at the renderings that you sent and they're giving me feedback. I'm working with the architect and he's giving us pressure to get all the answers by a certain date so that they can get the drawings into the city for the permit approval. What I'm saying is there's a lot of anxiety about this. So what I would say to that person who is coming to our startup events and hearing us talk multiple times and not pulling the trigger on anything is just pause. Figure out your mindset. Get rid of your baggage. There are ways to do that. We have techniques in the NLP world. Although I'm not necessarily a therapist, there's really, really great techniques that you and I can just sit down. I bet you we all have baggage. Another big word is your value system. We all have values. So what are those values? Another one is your self-worth. We talk about all of these things. Once you feel, I know, I'm sorry, Ollie's a biter as well when he brings the ball over. That I couldn't knock him from
Ollie,
that.
You need some NLP for sure and a shock collar.
He does.
Oh, he doesn't. We bought a vibrating collar, but it just didn't like it. So anyway, I'm rambling, but what the point is here is that prior to having a conversation about starting a dental practice, maybe it's talking to a business coach or a mindset coach and clearing your baggage, releasing it, and then coming back to us. And when you really then have trust in the team that you and I are surrounded with, I mean, that's the greatest thing. I mean, so talk more about that. I would say, what do you get from that? I mean,
well, you heard it here first. Greg Marinelli, cult leader. That's powerful. It really is. I remember when you and I first met and I was like, this guy is way too talented to be doing what he's doing. He is destined for greater things. So I'm glad that you shared your story. I take full credit for all your success.
You should.
I remember the conversation. I was like, quit being a loser. Get out of here.
That's exactly how it went.
But we see that in a lot of our clients. You know, I look them in the face and I feel like that they are judging themselves, that they're not good if they don't have their own practice. And that's not, first of all, you know, we've spoken a lot together and you always kind of probably hear me either say in the beginning or the end. And I'm like, you are not a loser if you don't have your own business. The world does not judge you. The totality of everything that you do doesn't come down to this.
No.
You can go and be a great associate for somebody every day. And, you know, again, that's not the end all be all if you don't have your own practice. But I also see the look on these people's faces that they're so torn because they really want that. But they just need that injection of confidence, you know? Some people can be, what's an introvert, a type A personality or B personality? I get them always confused.
I think it doesn't even have to do with type A or type B.
Really?
It's extrovert, introvert, type A, type B. Is it the same or
different? I thought it was the same. Maybe it's not.
I don't know.
But anyway, you know, I see these very sort of introverted people who, but they do have the desire in them.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's hard to turn an introvert into an extrovert. Sometimes you can do it.
Yeah.
Sometimes people can go and they can really shine it on. Believe it or not, I can be very introverted. Sometimes I just want to go in my room and watch TV.
Same here.
All day.
Absolutely.
And it's hard to pump yourself up, yeah. But I'm more extroverted than introverted.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of introverted people who can go and they can sort of flip that hat around and turn it on. And then there's other people who they can't do it. And I don't always have the best words of wisdom other than, go find an extroverted team. You know, you can hire greatness for you.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of some of the world's best clinicians out there who you would never know because just chair side, they're not good at exuding that personality, but
mm-hmm.
they've learned how to surround themselves with a phenomenal team.
Absolutely.
So, you know, if you have that burning desire to go do it, from experience, we can tell you there's no secret sauce that's separating you, Dr. Smith, from Dr. Henry out there who has 15 practices and you can't do one. There's nothing different. I can tell you from experience, there's nothing different about them than you. There's no secret sauce. There's no big pile of money behind them that's funding them. This is the same person that was your lab partner or was behind you in school or a couple years ahead of you. Most of them may be in a worse off position, but what they're able to do is somewhat throw caution to the wind and say, you know what? I'm going to go for it.
Mm-hmm.
Because what's the worst that's going to happen? Let's say you did fail. What does that mean to a dentist? If you failed, what happened? You're homeless tomorrow? No. You still have DDS or DMD behind your name. You're still going to have a great life.
Yeah.
Maybe your practice failed. Maybe it's a little bit embarrassing. Who cares? What's more embarrassing? To look back on a life of regret and say, you know, I was too scared to try. So I just sat on the sidelines. Or, yeah, I threw caution to wind and I tried it. And you know what? Damn it. I failed because I didn't know what I was doing, or I didn't surround myself with the right team, or I didn't do marketing. I've had people who have failed and said, I learned from that mistake. Now I'm going to go out and do it again.
Yeah.
But, you know, to sit on the sideline and say, I'm just never going to do it, I would hate to live that life of regret.
Mm-hmm.
So at some point, you've just got to close your eyes and jump into it.
Yeah.
But you got to be able to identify, okay, what are my weak points? What do I need help with? Because again, that person who has 10 locations and adding another three every year, I can tell you, my hand to God, they are no different than who you are.
Well, even those people with the 10 locations, maybe you team up with one of them because they still need someone to represent their brand. They can't be in every one of those 10 locations every day.
Could be.
I mean, just even that. You still get to be entrepreneurial. You still get to be in charge. And it's on someone else's dime, if you want to say it that way. But someone else's, what do I want to say, expertise that you just get to shine as a dentist. Because I'll tell you what, being in business, I'm not just a designer. I'm a marketer. I'm a business strategist. I'm blessed to have this virtual design studio. I'm a boss, not only to people in the room, but people virtually across the country. And actually our farthest team member is in Morocco. So it's across the nation.
Oh my gosh.
So think of that though. Think of all of those different things you have to be, or one has to be. You're not just a dentist anymore when you're opening up a practice. So really going back to that mindset, you have to clear all that baggage. And I know it's super easy to say, but I'm only qualified to say it because I did it. And I do it every day.
Yeah.
I mean, I start every day with a meditation. And that meditation, you're playing footsie with me, not Ollie, by the way. So, I mean, it's a dream come true. Really, I never expected it.
I just love that we're sitting here, honestly, and I hope you don't edit this too much because we're playing with your dog, we're in your house.
Yeah.
I mean, business can be... Business is very, very stressful. Having your own business. I have a team that works for me that I'm so blessed. I'm like, how did I trick these people into joining this pyramid scheme? I mean, that's the greatest. I am a really good identifier of talent, I think. Everybody on my team is way smarter than me. They are super driven. They have given up so much to partner with me. And I'm super blessed with that. Business is stressful though, right? We make it look fun and all these things, but behind the scenes, there's a lot of stress.
Absolutely.
But you also get these moments of gold where it's like you get to sit with one of your dear friends, play with their dog, be in their beautiful house, talk about something that you're passionate about. There's nothing more freeing than having your own business, but it does come with stress. I always wonder if people don't believe what we say, what the lenders say, because if you want to open your business, there's no safer business out there.
Working from home.
Come in. That's our pizza.
I have no idea.
There's no, I would love if they just busted the door there. Are you podcasting in here? Do you have a permit for this?
Right? Can you imagine?
There's no safer business that you can have. Literally, it's almost 100% success rate.
Yeah.
And I look at people and I say, I'm telling you this, right? The lenders are telling you this. These are proven numbers. These are statistics that have been documented since the 80s. It's a 99.6% success rate for a scratch startup.
Yeah.
That beats any possible business that you could ever, ever open. I mean, to have the luxury of being in an industry with an almost 100% success rate, that's where it drives me crazy. It's like, okay, what are you waiting on? And then people open up and they say, my friend. I'm like, that's a made up friend. You don't know somebody who did something and is in a disastrous position.
Yeah.
You're reaching for these straws because you're nervous and you're looking for any way out of this thing. And I don't know how to inject that confidence to say what you're doing is as safe as you can possibly get.
Well, the first thing I would ask is does that friend exist? Who did that friend work with? Or did they try to do it on their own?
It was great. We had our recent bus tour in LA and it was phenomenal. We just had a phenomenal showing, doctors, stories. It was so great. I loved it. But we had one client in there who was sort of an outlier and she worked with you, but she didn't really work with the normal team that we work with. And I say this normal team, it's not that we are officially associated together. We're not paying each other. There's no referral fees. We've just found that this secret sauce, this team really works at a really high level. Again, it's not about being successful. It's about a certain level of success.
Yeah.
And we have found this team that we work with really produces the highest level of success.
Yeah.
But there was an outlier in there. And she kind of said, I did my own thing.
Yeah.
And she talked about all these hardships and all these struggles that she had. And I think that was a direct reflection of trying to do it on your own.
Yeah.
Right? So that's that friend that, they did this, they did that. Well, she didn't surround herself with the team at the highest level. And admittedly, she was like, I probably could have skipped all this stuff, but I just didn't know any better. And I didn't know who the rest of this team was. And that's okay. We're probably our worst enemy. You know, our biggest competitor is not another real estate firm or another design firm. There's lots of great people in this industry. It's really the doctors themselves not knowing any better, being jaded about the process, not trusting people, because there is a lot of bad people in this industry. It's like a wedding. They'll really take advantage of you.
Absolutely.
And that's where it's hard, because people discount an entire industry of great consultants, great designers, great real estate people, because there is a large segment there that are only out for their own good and benefit. And so it is hard to trust. But I think that's another thing. We work with clients who are very, very successful, right? And they're very trusting. They simply will look at you and say, Greg, go do your thing. Yeah. Brian, go do your thing. And they're not checking in and saying, well, what about this? What about that? They're like, I don't have time to micromanage this team. I've hired you to do something, by God, and go out and do it at the highest level. So once they vetted it or they have a certain feeling, they release the reins to their team and they say, go do your thing.
That's our most trusted. Our best projects are clients who trust the process. We created the 8-step DesignWise process to reduce anxiety and increase profitability for a reason. If you're in step 2, moving on to step 3, but then say, oh, we need to go back to step 1, well then, what is the point of the steps to move forward? So a lot of people are like that. They'll come to the bus tour, they're all psyched up, let's move forward, let's have these conversations, but then they go home to a spouse, to their day job, and then they go backwards. So that's, I think, what is at the core of this conversation, is how do we keep the momentum going forward? And it's as simple as a phone call. It's as simple as just talking to us. We're going back to, are we salespeople? I mean, in business, you do have a little bit of sales, but it's really, no, we're just people who have a passion about what we do in a very, very niche world and niche business. And like you said earlier, I get very passionate as well. And sometimes I could just ramble on all day about design and about the whole process. But really what I love is about the team. I really feel comfortable knowing that our clients, like in a circle of trust when they work with us. They're in the center, they have you for real estate and your team members, they have me and my team for design, they have their other people for construction and lenders and consultants and marketing and all that. I mean, how much more information? Just say if I was a dentist and I had this circle of trust, knowing I was in the middle of that, I mean, that would just make me feel so confident that you're going to have this amazing end result.
I think it boils down to maybe 3 things: is confidence in themselves, overanalyzing the process, right? Is we find a lot of great clinicians have this, what do we call it? This paralysis by analysis. Yes. If something's not perfect, it'll never get off the ground. And I'm like, that's what separates some of our bigger groups from individual doctors. They know, listen, it's never going to be perfect. But if I can be the first one into this market, I know that I'll win and I'll probably box out my competition. But I'm not going to have floor-to-ceiling windows, and I'm not going to have, you know, major blinking signage off the highway. But I know the business opportunity is so great that if I can pull the trigger and beat everybody else, that, you know, it doesn't matter if it's perfect. That's not what I'm waiting for.
Our clients, we have a lot of mutual clients that are on multiple locations. We can tell stories all day. It's not a perfect process.
Yeah.
The 4th, the 5th, the 6th process, when you're finding them their space, every space is different. So yes, you have your strategies in place, but then we're going back to the drawing board on every single one of these projects. We're working on a project now. I don't know, what is the 7th, 8th location? And there are so many building regulations that we have to deal with. And you know what? That's okay, because our clients know that they're surrounded by the team who will get it done. And they literally just let us do it. And then what happens? Why can they do that though? Is because they've seen it happen on their previous locations. Knowing who to call when something is going on with their lease. Knowing who to call when something's going on with the design. So how is it best that you and I can tell our story and not be overwhelming to somebody new? I think that's the biggest question. I know we focus a lot on startups and that, you know, the first time practice owner, but how do we take those stories of our clients that are having multiple locations and really allow that story to shine for this first time owner?
I think you just hit it on the head earlier when you said you kind of got to deal with your own baggage. I have walked into some of your spaces, and they're all beautiful. Don't get me wrong. Some of them really stand out, and I'm like, oh my God, where did this come from? And you're like, the client released full control, right? And I've always wondered, why are you hiring a designer, an interior architect, this person who you have looked through their entire portfolio and you're like, I love that. But when then it comes time for them to do their thing, it's like, well, let's do something different. Let's scale back. Well, what do you think about this? It's like, you know what this person does. Why don't you just release control? And I think we're getting really big into psychoanalysis here. I think that they want to give up the control, but they're so shameful or embarrassed that somebody's going to walk into that practice and they're going to ooh and ah, and the doctor's going to recoil and say, oh, I feel embarrassed about all the attention I'm getting here, right? Inside, they're like, I wish I could be creative and exude myself to the world. But when it's shown, it's like, oh, is this too ostentatious? Is this too over the top? They probably love it, but they're like, they're always afraid that they're going to be judged.
Yeah.
And I think that's the baggage that we're talking about, is release the control. Put your best self out there. Yeah. If you can't do it, you're hiring this team to do it for you.
Yeah.
Own it. Be proud of yourself. Yeah. I think that's one of the biggest bottlenecks, is people going, I can't let that part of myself be shown to the world.
Try being the designer. You don't want to talk about judgment.
Yeah.
Jeez Louise. Like, we're creating all of these spaces. I feel like such a responsibility to thousands of people that are going to be walking through that door. And that's actually what happens. We are not, yes, of course, we're designing for our client, but we're designing for the patients. We're designing for the team members. Thousands of people. The spaces do not just mean, oh, your patients are going to have a great experience. You're supporting families for all of your team members. You're creating environments, or we are creating environments, even with pediatrics, that to make them comfortable and love going to the dentist, so that then they're also confident and comfortable going to the orthodontist. And then when they go off to college, they're confident in finding their own dentist on Yelp, you know, best dentist near me, and they're going to the having their true first adult dental experience. So there's so many levels. How do you even get to that level, though? You have to take that first step.
Where do you start?
I don't know.
Honestly, I think you either have to find a mentor. So one thing that I've done ever since I was very young, I always had mentors.
Yeah.
I found people that were better, more experienced, smarter. And I didn't try to, in the beginning, I tried to mimic. I'm going to be a mimic of this person.
Yeah.
And then somebody called me out shortly after that, yeah. You know, this elder guy. And he said, you know, you got to make it your own. You can't just be a mimic of everybody else. You know, you can take things, and that's great. That's very flattering. But it has to be genuine to you. And I thought, you know what? You're right. I have to be myself. But I watched these people and how they interacted and what they said and what they told me when I asked them specifically for advice. And I'm like, that's great. Let me pick and choose what works for me, what my belief systems are, and make it my own. So I think mentors are really easy. I don't know anybody who's wildly successful who didn't have some sort of mentor. So have a mentor, whether it's your parents, a colleague, but somebody who's got your best interest in mind. If that mentor is always saying, you can't do that, that's too dangerous, that's not a mentor, in my opinion. It's somebody who challenges you and pushes you and says, hey, what do you really want to do? What do you want to do? It's just me and you here. When you lay your head on the pillow and you dream at night, what is that dream?
Yeah.
If you can't tell me, you can't tell your priest, or you can't tell somebody else, you got to be able to open up to somebody. So tell me, what is that dream? And let's see if we can make it a reality.
Absolutely.
But if that mentor says, that's too far-fetched, I don't know if that's the great mentor to have in your life. So maybe a mentor, number one. A mentor can be an easy, free thing to do. Find a mentor that has your best interest, that challenges you and pushes you to be great.
Yeah.
Maybe some professional help, honestly. There's nothing wrong with going. I have lots of friends who, I see a therapist. Is everything okay? Yeah, I just want to be my best self.
Yeah,
I go and see a therapist on a regular basis because I want to talk and I want some guidance, and that works for them. That's sort of their mentorship, if you will.
Absolutely.
So go find some professional help to talk, and maybe you're stuck in something. You know, I had this dream, but I don't know how to pursue it because I feel scared or ashamed or embarrassed. I want to do this, but can you help me? you know, maybe it's professional coaching. There are professional life coaches out there. And I know that's something that people get a big eye roll is, oh, a life coach? There's some amazing life coaches, consultants out there who can probably help you get through your stuff.
Absolutely.
Mentors, therapists, life coaches. I think those are three avenues to proceed.
Flows where focus goes.
Oh my gosh, look at that. I'm going to steal that.
That's cool, right? It's one of the things that I've built this business on, and I think I build even relationships on and everything. You know, when you have a best friend and you're talking every day, it's a really great relationship. So how about if that best friend was your therapist or that mentor or that business coach? You're focusing on that and it's going to naturally grow. Does it grow quickly? Does it grow at a slower pace? That maybe is up to you.
But talk to your dog. I mean, your dog is always here just looking at you, just ready for you to say anything profound at the drop of a hat.
Yeah.
Am I right, Ollie?
Ollie comes to work every single day with me. He's amazing. He lays in his bed and he just listens to me ramble on about dental offices all day long. All right, buddies.
This is a great conversation. Yeah. I love this. I could talk all day.
We really.
I hope that the millions of people at home learn something from this because, you know, when we first kind of set out to do some of these podcast series, we went to the easy stuff. What? Like, hey, what can we talk about? Should we talk about timeline or budget or all that stuff? But that's not the biggest hurdle in front of, I think, our clients and a big portion of the population is all that stuff will come. You know, again, that's part of trusting the team. Once you release control to the team, assume that they're going to take great care of you and protect you as if it were their own project.
Absolutely.
But first is you got to own your shit.
Yeah.
You got to figure out what that baggage is, reach in, pull it out, hose it off, and then figure out if you want to take this journey or not. And if you don't, you're a huge loser. No, you're not. You're still an amazing person. You're a doctor. You have done things that most people have never done and never will. You're special. So just, you know, that's something that you can take full comfort in at the end of the day.
Absolutely.
But if you have a dream, don't sleep on it anymore. Reach out to Greg Marinelli, life coach.
Brian Mills, life hacker. That's our new job.
Brian Mills, copycat.
In NLP, we call it modeling.
Is that what it is? See, I like that.
You take.
I got to investigate this NLP. Is it free?
No.
Oh, I'm out.
It's free if you talk to me.
I like it. No, I've actually heard you talk about it, and it's very intriguing. I'm into all of that stuff. And I think what's different about that is it seems to be backed by not just sort of emotional intelligence, but science. And I love how all that interworks together.
Exactly. It has a lot to do with the subconscious mind. And really, if you think about it in a way that we don't understand the subconscious mind in many levels, we're not trained to know that. But think of it as a computer. It's a system. We are literally conditioned from birth and programmed. All those ones and zeros and dots, I don't know anything about, but that's the filing system that we go through since birth. So all we're doing in NLP is going back and changing that software. It's like you run your virus software and it goes back and it defragments everything and puts it back in a direction, not the right direction. There is no right direction. It's the direction you want to go in, the belief system you want to adopt, the value you want to adopt. So how about the belief that you are enough? The value is that I am professional, I am an entrepreneur, and I am successful, and I'm just going to go for it. And I'm going to trust. I mean,
next week we're going to be microdosing eggnog, and then really getting into the science of the brain.
All right, let's do it. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
You're very welcome, sir. Very, very welcome. Thanks for coming to my home.
You're welcome. It's beautiful. And I love it.
You're welcome.